Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29-34.
고린도전서 15장 29절에서 34절입니다.
Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, do you know about the Halloween? It's a festival passed on to Korea by Americans. Let us briefly look over its origin. It's widely believed that many Halloween traditions originate from Celtic harvest festivals. They believe that the souls of the dead return to their homes this day, hoping that they would be protected from devils or witches. They placed food in front of their houses or disguised themselves as one of the devils or witches. These customs have passed down to become today's Halloween festivities. It was formerly celebrated by Americans, but now has spread to all over the world, becoming quite famous in Korea as well. It has become like an annual event in kindergartens. Not only children, but adults put on witch, demon, devil, Dracula, and zombie costumes, throw parties, and enjoy themselves. It's not only children, but adults. They put on such weird costumes, throw parties, and enjoy themselves this day. However, as believers, Christians, we have to be aware how bad this is spiritually. Recently, Pastor Hee-sun Lee shared some testimonies from her mission trip from Europe. A young man whose back was bent at 90 degrees with Asperger's syndrome attended her meeting. People with this syndrome have difficulties in social interaction along with restricted and repetitive patterns of behavior. The problem was not in his bones or muscles. It was related to his mental problem. Pastor Hee-sun Lee saw a vision when she prayed for him. As a toddler, he was playing alone in storage. As he reached out his hands toward a wizard doll, he was shocked by something. As Pastor Lee prayed for him with the handkerchief on which the shepherd prayed, his bent back straightened first time in more than 10 years. He could normally stand up. Around him, people who saw this around him were startled and saw that and said it was a miracle. The evil spirit, which entered him through the doll, was driven away by the prayer. What do you think evil spirits like? It's only natural that they like images of dark or evil beings which resemble themselves. Of course, I'm not saying that if anyone just touches a wizard doll, evil spirits come into or affect them. In the case of this young man, the doll might have been used for a shamanistic purpose, or there must have been befitting justice for him to be affected by that. Mommy members who have spiritual discernment and spiritual faith don't have to be frightened by such things. But anyway, it is obviously not beneficial in a spiritual sense if you like them or keep them close to you. So, young adults or children who believe in God should keep themselves from putting on such costumes or makeup following non-believing friends. Some of them, however, put on such makeups on their pictures. Nowadays, on smartphones, we have a software or application that corrects pictures. For example, we can put a crown upon our head or make our face look brighter with makeups. But I'm not talking about making ourselves look better like this. There are frightening and weird makeups. Making use of such applications, they create images where their lips are bleeding like a demon. They are stabbed with a knife, or horns have grown on their head. Who would like to see such things? The angels, if believers, Christians do this, the angels will not be pleased to see that. The enemy devil and Satan and demons that oppose God will be pleased. The reason I talk about this at the beginning of my sermon is that I recently happened to see one of mommy's students having such pictures just for fun or following their friends because they don't know well about the spiritual realm. Out in the world, people try to make those demon or devil images look cute. When they don't know about the spiritual realm, they follow their friends. When I talked about the spiritual realm and the meaning of Halloween, the students were surprised. They were astonished, and they asked me to talk about this in my sermon. Beloved students, I want you to be aware of the spiritual realm and not to do things that the enemy devil and Satan like. I digressed a little bit. Even among non-believers, there are people who have vague faith on the afterlife. They believe the souls of the dead come back, and so they prepare food for them on Halloween. In Korea, many people believe that when we offer a sacrificial rite, the souls of the dead come back and eat the food prepared on the sacrificial table, which means they acknowledge the afterlife. If they believe one spirit completely disappears and turns to nothing, they have no reason to have such sacrificial rites. But one thing we should keep in mind that is even when they do that for their deceased parents, their souls never come back to accept their sacrifice. They do this being ignorant of the spiritual realm. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And in as much as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. After death, we go either of the two places, heaven and hell." The verse means that those in heaven or hell are not able to come out on earth as they please. Although the Bible clarifies this, we see some Christians trying to do things for the dead like non-believers offer sacrifices. Today's scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29 says, "Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them?" Those people misunderstand this verse and believe that if we are baptized for the dead can revive. So they try to pile up prayer for people who died without accepting the Lord or received baptism on behalf of them. In fact, however, once a person faces death and judgment, there's nothing people living on this earth can do for them. Then, what do these verses mean? Senior pastor clarified these difficult verses when he preached in 2006 under the title Baptism for the Dead. Based on senior pastor's past sermon, let us look over what it means to be baptized for the dead and how we should lead a Christian life for the dead. As I mentioned earlier, senior pastor preached about this in two separate occasions, but I'll preach it at a time. It may not be easy for you to understand the message. I hope you pay attention to the end. So as I mentioned earlier, there is nothing we can do for people who've already died without accepting our Lord. If there was a way to save a person who died without believing the Lord, why should we work hard to share the gospel? In sharing the gospel, we often face persecutions from husbands or parents. We sometimes hear curse words, swear words, get picked on or teased by others. Or worse, we may even get beaten. Even so, with love for God and our family, we can't help but share the gospel with them. We know that there surely is the judgment after death. But if we could pray for the dead, be baptized for them, and send them to heaven even after death, we wouldn't have to share the gospel with people. Because we can be baptized for them, pray for them, and give offerings for them after death, right? But such a thing is never ever possible. And in other denominations, people claim that they misunderstood this verse. They claim that if we are baptized or if we receive prayer for them, the dead souls could be brought up from hell to heaven, but this is never possible. The story of a rich man and the beggar Lazarus, featured in the Luke chapter 16, confirms this fact. The rich man, after enjoying an affluent and luxurious life on earth, ended up falling into the flames in lower grave. The beggar Lazarus, even though he lived in poverty and diseases, because he feared God, he could rest in Abraham's bosom in the upper grave, which belongs to heaven. The rich man, being severely tortured in the flames, saw Lazarus and Abraham and asked Abraham to send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off his tongue. However, Abraham replied in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, "Between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." Namely, he was saying there's no traveling between heaven and hell, which means those in heaven cannot offer any help to people in hell. Then the rich man made another request. He asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his family to inform them of hell. He said, in order that he may warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. This rich man, even while suffering in flames, didn't want his brothers to be tormented like him. We can see a bit of goodness in him, yet this time again, Abraham couldn't grant his request. Abraham said that the way of salvation had already been widely known through Moses and prophets. A person who would not listen to them would not listen, even if a dead person revives and notifies them. Everyone, it's likely that people believe when a dead person revives and preaches, right? But at the time of Jesus, Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days and decaying, was raised. But even after seeing this kind of sign, evil people still refused to believe Jesus. Here, Lazarus is different from the Lazarus who is in the bosom of Abraham. Anyway, even though they confirmed what happened was true, they tried to capture and kill Jesus from then on. They even plotted to kill Lazarus, who was raised from dead. Why? They were upset about multitudes of people believing in Jesus after hearing rumors about Lazarus having revived. Knowing such evil of man, Abraham rejected the rich man's request, saying that even if the beggar Lazarus would be sent back alive on earth, people who wouldn't believe will still not believe. Here, we need to take note of one thing. If the rich man's request, it's the rich man's request. We have to look at his request. If someone alive on earth could do something for someone dead, what would the rich man in hell urgently ask of his brothers living on earth? There's no doubt he would ask them to relieve his pain. His first request should be, please ask them to pray for me. Please tell them to be baptized on behalf of me so that I can be brought to heaven. Such request would come to his mind first. But the rich man knew that his reality in hell could never be changed, so he only asked Abraham to send someone to preach to his brothers so they wouldn't come to hell. If you only figure out this spiritually, you can confirm that you cannot do anything for those who've already died without salvation. Then, what does the following verse in today's scripture mean? Otherwise, What will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? What does this verse mean? If you take this verse just literally, you may misunderstand that if you are baptized for the dead will be raised. But if you look at it along with the preceding and following verses, it has totally different meaning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, on which today's scripture is based on, is about resurrection. The chapter is called the resurrection chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says that there are people who witnessed the resurrection of the Lord, and it is true. He also assures us that those who believe in His resurrection will be resurrected in Christ. And in the following verses in today's scripture, he emphasizes that once a person dies, it is not the end, but there is surely resurrection in the Lord. Because we have hope in resurrection, we lead an earnest Christian life. As you take a close look at each phrase of today's scripture, you can figure out what he intended to say. Now let me go phrase by phrase according to what the Father God explained to Senior Pastor. What will those do who are baptized for the dead? Here the dead does not refer to those whose physical life has expired and died, but it means all mankind whose spirits have been dead by sins. So, when did the spirits of all mankind die? Old church members are well aware of this, but some of you who've recently come to this church may not know this. Let me briefly explain. When the first man Adam disobeyed, his spirit died. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17 says, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." So Adam should have died right away as he was told. But did he? No. He was driven out from the Garden of Eden, but lived on earth until the age of 930. What happened to him? It's not that his physical life died, but his spirit died. As a result of his disobedience, his communication with God was severed, and his spirit died. And all mankind, the offspring of Adam, remained dead in spirit. So the dead in today's scripture does not refer to those whose physical life expired and died, but those whose spirits died by sins. Then, what does it mean to be baptized for the dead? In a narrow sense, we, each believer, are baptized for our own dead spirit. When a person is led to a church and begins his walk with the Lord, he receives a baptism. We've learned that we are saved by being reborn of water and the Spirit. So the baptism signifies being born again of water and the Spirit. By being baptized, one's dead spirit revives and gains eternal life. But it's not that one's dead spirit comes alive just by being physically baptized with water. What revives our dead spirit is the spiritual baptism. John the Baptist said, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but the one coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The water baptism is the symbolic procedure. Just as water cleanses us of dirtiness, the baptism with water symbolizes our repenting, being forgiven of sins, and being saved. In order to be saved, one should receive the spiritual baptism, namely the baptism by the Holy Spirit and fire. When the Apostle Paul visited Ephesus and found some disciples, he asked, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In reply, they told him that they had not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit and that they'd been baptized by John. So the Apostle Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Likewise, one spirit revives not just by water baptism, but by receiving the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After that, we have to be baptized by fire, which is scorching the sinful attributes and circumcising our hearts in order to become God's true children. But it's not that the water baptism is not necessary just because it's only a symbolic procedure. Even those who have accepted the Lord and only received the Holy Spirit have to receive it according to the Word of God. Even our Lord was baptized by John the Baptist. Next week, we have a baptism ceremony. Before you are baptized with water next week, please prepare yourselves well with faith. Mommy members wholeheartedly make preparation with fasting, vow prayer, and new clothes, new clean and neat clothes. Years ago, one of the student members was baptized. We used the Muang sweet water in the baptism ceremony. The sweet water anointed on his head flew down one of his cheeks. He had pimples all over his face because he was a student. But after the sweet water rolled down his cheek, that side of his face got cleansed of pimples. Yes, we give glory to Father God. God offered him special grace and let him experience his power through the sweet water. Those who are baptized next week, please prepare yourselves with sincerity and hopefully receive answers to your heart's wish. Most of all, I hope you will also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit given to you as the evidence of salvation and the baptism of fire.
세례받는 자들이 저희를 위해서 세례를 받는다고 보충 설명.
In the latter part of this verse, Paul talks about being baptized for them. The baptism here has a broader meaning. It refers to being baptized not just for our own souls, but for all those whose spirits have died.
Then,
and how could our being baptized benefit others? When we are baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire, and our hearts change along with our words and actions. Those who used to be hot-tempered and easily got angry with others begin to lower his voice and become gentle. Those who used to be arrogant become humble, and greedy people turn into generous and benevolent ones. As they circumcise their hearts and change like this, they become the light and the salt of this world, giving out the aroma of Christ. Through this, non-believers around them begin to think, indeed, God is living. Seeing that person, I have to believe in God too. If I can be changed like him, I have to go to church as well. Like this, their spiritual change gives glory to God and calls others to accept the Lord. In other words, when we share the gospel while we are sanctified and give out the aroma of Christ, non-believers can believe in the Lord and be saved. Namely, this is how believers revive the dead by receiving spiritual baptism. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Of course, no matter how great a person's faith is, it is not that his faith can save even his family. Salvation solely depends on each one's own faith. Yet, if one of the family members believes in the Lord and dwells in the light, his light causes the darkness to go away and his family members to accept the Lord. That's why the verse says, you will be saved, you and your household. That's why the verse, and in a broader meaning, being baptized for the dead is to cause others to receive salvation by the spiritual change. In the following verse, he says, why are we also in danger every hour? Which means that in addition to the circumcision of our hearts, we also take risks for those whose spirits have died. This indicates that as we diligently circumcise our hearts and live a life set apart from the world, we have to make sacrifice and suffer persecutions. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. For example, in order to keep the Sabbath day holy, you may suffer disadvantage or difficulties. Previously, you used to hang out with worldly friends or colleagues, indulge in drinking, and visit bad places. But as you make up your mind to stop doing all these things, you may face persecutions. But when you dwell in the light and please God, the darkness will go away eventually. The darkness goes away and you give glory to God. Thus, God tells us to rejoice and give thanks in persecutions. The Apostle Paul, who wrote today's scripture, endured many kinds of dangers to participate, practice the truth, and share the gospel. He suffered from heat, cold, hunger, thirst, and sleeplessness. He was shipwrecked, imprisoned, and beaten. Even though he suffered so greatly and his life was threatened, he still spread the gospel to save the dead. Only when he spread the gospel despite threats could people of this world here have faith and participate in the resurrection. Dear brothers and sisters, do you believe in resurrection? Do you believe that our Lord died and resurrected and is still living? Also, do you have hope that we'll also resurrect and enjoy the everlasting glory of heaven? If you truly have hope and faith in the resurrection, you will also take any risks in sharing the gospel. The moment Jesus was crucified on the cross, his disciples all ran away out of fear. Only some women and the apostle John stayed close to his side. But afterwards, his disciples were completely changed. They testified to the Lord even amidst distress, threats of death, and starving, hungry lions. What changed them? It was our Lord's resurrection. There is a renowned American journalist named Lee Strobel. He used to be an atheist. One day, however, his wife accepted the Lord and became a Christian. He developed stronger antipathy against churches because he felt like his wife was taken away by Christians. He didn't want to believe in Christ, but because his beloved wife believed in Jesus, he tried to search for the evidence of Jesus Christ. He's a journalist and a graduate of a law school, so he thought he would not believe if he finds all those facts about Jesus not making sense. But if he confirms that the records of the Bible is true, he would believe. He continued his search for about 2 years. He researched all the data and met many kinds of people and tried to find an answer. So what happened next? In just 2 years, he surrendered himself and accepted the Lord. He couldn't help but believe in Jesus. One of the obvious evidence was the drastic change of the witnesses of the Lord's resurrection. The disciples were frightened and ran away the moment Jesus was arrested, but they were changed to endure any persecutions. This proves they witnessed the Lord's resurrection, which means the Lord's resurrection is true. No one would risk his own life for a lie. Not only did the disciples believe in his resurrection, if that means they wouldn't have died a martyr, becoming the prey to lions for a lie. Not only did the disciples believe in his resurrection, but they saw it with their own eyes. Not only were Jesus' disciples changed, but a young man named Saul, who stood against the churches and eagerly persecuted Christians, changed into a person who testified to Jesus Christ from one day. The reason was he met the resurrected Lord in person. So, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. Saul heard the voice of the Lord in a brilliant light. And his eyes got blind all of a sudden. And after some days, one of the Jesus' disciples, Ananias, came over to him and prayed for him. Something was ripped off his eyes, and he began to see. He had such marvelous experience. Following this dramatic encounter with the Lord, Saul changed into an apostle who testified to the Lord's resurrection. He willingly suffered hardships and even martyrdom. Namely, Jesus' disciples and even his opponent preached about his resurrection. Other than these things, there were tons of evidences which proved the Lord's resurrection. So Lee Strobel, who was completely logical and advocated atheism, couldn't help but accept the Lord for very, very logical reasons and turned into a preacher of the Lord. But we army members can find the evidences that God is alive, the Lord resurrected, and the Bible is true, even without searching for years, just like he did. You can find it right away. Through the manifestations of God's power done by the shepherd, you can find the evidences. So I hope that as I preach this sermon based on senior pastor's explanation, the message of leading a true life of faith, I hope you believe in this message and live a Christian life without regrets. So those who have hope in the resurrection and have faith will take risks in sharing the gospel. As people are saved and live a Christian life, their purpose of life begins to be changed. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. As people grow up or mature in faith, they don't live for themselves, but only for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. Understanding this one fact, we can figure out what it meant by the Apostle Paul's being baptized and in danger and being in danger for the dead. Continually, he says, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Here, what the Apostle Paul meant by I die daily was that his old self that belonged to flesh was dying. As you heard the sermon in the Sunday morning service, when you accept the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit, you are called righteous by faith. But it doesn't mean that all our sins in our heart disappears all of a sudden. You have to cast them off one by one. As we let our old self die, casting off arrogance, hot-temperedness, judgment, condemnation, hatred, envy, jealousy, greed, adultery, and fleshy thoughts, the Christ lives in us. That should be our boasting in our Lord. This is not to show off ourselves. As we change ourselves, we can give glory to God. The Apostle Paul also took pride in dying daily. He showed an example of a sanctified life, abandoning and sacrificing himself for his flock. Moreover, by manifesting God's power, he planted faith in them. As he let ourselves die, we can bring grace to other souls and set a good example for them. A middle schooler in my parish recently began attending the Daniel prayer meeting for the first time. Not because his parents forced or urged him, he wanted to win a tumbler at the award ceremony. He actually already had a tumbler given to him as an award at the summer retreat, but he still wanted to get another one by attending the prayer meeting. Yet, the situation didn't allow him to attend the Daniel prayer meeting every day, so his aunt promised him that if he comes a few nights a week, she would give him her tumbler. At the late evening, he must have felt hungry and wanted to rest at home or hang out with his friends. But he hurried back home, changed his clothes, and made way to church. He got on the church bus to go to church. He prayed hard, even giving thanksgiving offering. Watching her nephew, his aunt was inspired, thinking, who else in the world could change such a teenage boy like him? Could reproaching or scolding work? Could giving him a present work? Seeing his spiritual change, she was so grateful for the shepherd's love and his original voice. The next morning, she was praying alone at home. Inspired by her nephew's spiritual change, she was empowered to pray with the fullness of the Spirit and extended her prayer time from 30 minutes to 1 hour. She tearfully confessed this. Hearing her testimony, I was thankful even more for the shepherd's love that harbored and changed our students who are likely to be tainted by the world. Just by the spiritual change of a young student, Our students are being changed like this, right? By the shepherd's love, they are being changed, and they turn into ones who love the Lord and the Father God and the shepherd. I hope you do not miss this love, miss this grace, and keep on going. Just by the spiritual change of a young student, Father God can be glorified like this, and people around him are inspired. How much more if a shepherd who guides and leads his flock, lives a life in which he lets himself die and gives glory to God? So having seen your pastor as our shepherd, how blessed we Mami members are. Let's say, he just said, how could we keep all the words in the Bible? Because our flesh is weak, we can hardly be changed. So all we have to do is just saying, Lord, I believe you. Then we wouldn't have made efforts to take after our Lord, throw away sins. We would still fight with each other, get angry or upset, and practice lawlessness. Also, if he had taught us, the signs and wonders happened only in the Bible. Nowadays, we can live a good Christian life just by hearing and believing the words. Then, many of Mami members would still suffer from diseases or disasters or live in torment. Some of you may not even live on this earth now. You would have gone to hell to be with the Lord already. Even while instructing his flock to live in the truth, if the shepherd himself had surrendered or compromised in the face of threats or of persecutions, we would also have compromised in our life of faith. Yet, our senior pastor has taught us according to the words of God and demonstrated his words with signs and wonders. By setting a good example in the truth, he enabled us to have faith and realize his love. He even fulfilled the justice we are responsible for, but can't fulfill on our own. In doing so, he helps us live a true Christian life, headed for New Jerusalem. I'm thankful to Father God for giving us such true shepherd for us. So, in this verse, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. The Apostle Paul advised and urged us to live a life in which we let ourselves die for others and therefore give glory to God. Verse 32 says, if from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? What does wild beasts mean here? Beasts mentioned in the Revelation signify Satan, which stands against God. Satan instigates evil people to oppose God. Because wild beasts are more violent than other animals, he called evil people strongly under control of Satan as wild beasts. He said, what good is there to fight with people who are so evil? Ordinary people argue or fight with evil people for the sake of their benefits or self-righteousness. Yet, evil people refuse to listen no matter how right their words are. Rather, they attack with harsh and evil words. Even if you may overcome them temporarily, they don't give in or surrender from their heart, so they develop ill feelings and later try to avenge you. For this reason, you should avoid disputing or conflicting with them. As said in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, we shouldn't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we let ourselves die, understanding and enduring them and treating them in goodness, God will work for us and drive away the darkness and Satan. Only when we overcome evil with good can we be benefited. And the reason why we die like this is that we can save the dead. Next, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. As I mentioned earlier, the reason we circumcise our hearts and take risks in spreading the gospel is we believe in the resurrection. The reason we don't argue with evil people but yield to them, treat them in goodness, is that we believe in resurrection. But if everything ended with our life on this earth, without resurrection, the believers of the early churches who were persecuted and died for the Lord would be the most pitiful pathetic ones, and so would we, mommy members, who don't have much time to enjoy themselves, praying every night for the kingdom of God. We don't seek our benefits, enduring and yielding to others for the glory of God. But what about other worldly people? What about the other worldly people who only live for themselves? Only if they become better off, they don't care if others suffer misery because of them. That's why they deceive and betray each other and do unrighteous acts to satisfy their lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life. But if you believe in God, the resurrection, and in the existence of heaven and hell, you can never do such things, knowing that you will fall into hell. How could you dare commit sins? And if you believe that you will enjoy glory and rewards in heaven according to your deeds on this earth, how could you spend time meaninglessly? However, even though you believe in God and hear the words of the truth, if you don't believe the resurrection from your heart, you may give in to the temptations of the world. For this reason, the Apostle Paul warns us in verses 33 through 34, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Even while you profess to have fellowship with God, if you fail to live in the light, you are liars. As a college student, I went out on an outing with my college mates. This tradition is still prevalent in Korea. In 1990s as well, we indulged in drinking at such gatherings. At music schools, especially, people have close, intimate relationships, so such gatherings happened a lot for us to be more close and be united while drinking together. But at that time, however, I had just begun to attend the church. Although no one taught me in person, I knew for myself that churchgoers should refrain from drinking and debauchery. But I was afraid of proclaiming in front of the people older than me. I was afraid of saying, because I don't drink, because I'm a Christian. So I prayed about that. I asked God, please help me not drink as a Christian. Then all of a sudden, on our way to the destination, I got fever. My body became burning hot, and my eyes got bloodshot, and my nose was running. Strangely enough, even while I had such fever, I didn't really feel sick. But those who were watching me were so concerned because I looked seriously ill. So they came over and told me, you shouldn't drink. That night, dozens of my fellow college mates got drunk. Almost all of them. I found some of them crying, laughing, vomiting. While everyone spent the night like this, I was allowed not to drink and go back home early the next day. Among all those who attended that gathering, I was the only one who didn't drink a drop of alcohol, and as soon as I got home, the fever was gone and I was completely normal. I remember being so surprised by that experience. Out of good conscience, I try to act by God's will, even though no one taught me to do so. But as I became a sophomore, what do you think I changed? You think I became stronger in faith? In a church that I formerly attended, there was a college mission, a group of college students, where juniors and seniors taught the Bible for freshmen and sophomores and presided over meetings. After Saturday praise meeting was over, the leaders there would take fellow brothers and sisters to places like bars to drink. Not all of them, but it happened quite often. And they said things like, what's important is our love for the Lord. God only told us not to get drunk. He didn't tell us never to drink. So I would follow them to bars and drank to the point where I didn't get drunk or tipsy. The problem was, it went further than that. If I went to bars with brothers and sisters at church, can you imagine how I was with worldly friends? I went drinking more often, and of course, there were times I got really drunk. Doing this, do you think my heart was at peace? At first, I hesitated and was concerned, but I began to comfort myself, thinking, other people who confess they love the Lord do this too. It would be okay. They also shed tears in praising God. I gave such excuses. As my faith began deviated from the truth like this, I felt more afflicted and troubled in heart. Those days, I walked away from God like this, but as I began attending Mamin Church, learned the words of truth, and recovered God's grace, I realized how dangerous it was spiritually. Just as the Bible says, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Even though you have received the Holy Spirit, if you had bad company or associate with deceivers, you will get stained with worldly lust and fall into sin and evil. If you follow them and deviate from the wholehearted Christian life, you will compromise with the world and your faith will get tainted. So you will commit sins and end up in death. Thus, you have to keep yourselves from being deceived. You should always stay on the alert against the enemy devil that is prowling around like a roaring lion to find someone to devour, and always practice righteousness. Only then can we participate in the resurrection. Let me conclude the message. The resurrection of the dead will surely take place. Because we believe in the resurrection, we diligently circumcise our heart and even take risks for those whose spirits are dead and who are falling into hell. We cannot do anything for those who've already passed away, but for people who are still alive, we have a chance to lead them onto the way of life. As Christians who have already been saved and greatly blessed to become the flock of Mammon and the flock of the shepherd, we shouldn't neglect our duties in the salvation of souls and accomplishing the Father's will. We've already been given wages from Father God. We've been paid in advance to work for the kingdom of God. John chapter 4, verse 36, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. We've been called as sowers and reapers, and we've been paid tremendous wages, which is salvation. Having been paid in advance, we should just work hard with thanksgiving, but man's heart isn't so. We work hard for some time, but gradually become lazy and sluggish. Having been given wages already, people may think there are no more to be given, so their work efficiency falls, and they work grudgingly. That's why people are advised to pay their workers in advance. Only when the wages are given after all the work is done, they work hard to the end. The salvation we've received is also an ongoing thing. There are people who claim once we are saved forever. But God didn't talk about salvation that way. Revelation chapter 3 verse 5 says, "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Here the verse indicates that one's name can be erased from the book of life. And also the other verse implies that the spirit can be quenched. And for those who live for the glory of God and die for the souls, Father God not only gives wages of salvation for them, but He's prepared many rewards in glory. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 say, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Father God prepared the most glorious crown and a dwelling place for the Apostle Paul, who fervently loved the Lord and lived for the souls and the Father God. I hope you will enjoy the most glorious dwelling place and crown in heaven. I pray. Let's reflect on today's message in our prayer.
귀한 목자를 통하여 귀한 재단을 통하여 새 예루살렘으로 인도하시는 사랑과 은혜에 감사를 드립니다. 너무나 크신 축복을 받은 자들입니다. 우리가 이 축복을 받고서 가만히 있을 것이 아니요 이제는 아버지 죽은 자들을 위하여 이와 같이 우리가 스스로 더 더욱더 나아가 위험이라도 무릅쓰고 아버지의 복음을 전할 수 있는 자들이 되어야 될 것이나이다. 이 만민 가운데 허락하신 목자 가운데 허락하신 세계 선거야 대성전 아버지 그 모든 뜻들을 이루어드리기 위하여 오늘도 열심히 이루어가는 우리 모든 성도님들이 되어질 수 있도록 함께하여 주시기를 원합니다. 감사드리며 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도합니다. 아멘.
영상을 통해서
당회장님 we will receive the senior pastor's prayer for the sick. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on them. And if you are not sick, please lay your hands on your chest and receive prayer for your heart's wish. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. And please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart, drive away negative thoughts, doubts, and drive away all tests and trials from head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and live. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf hear, and the mute speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness go away, light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Amen.